Today we're talking with Dr. Karen Cassaday about overprotection and overindulgence and how to help the anxious parent. Dr. Cassaday is the owner and clinical director of the Anxiety and Agoraphobia Treatment Center in Northbrook, Illinois. Dr. Cassaday, can you describe what you mean by an overprotective or overindulgent parent, especially the effects such a parent has on a child with an anxiety disorder?
Well, first, we know that parental overprotection or overindulgence is an impediment to successful treatment. And not only that, it also is a predictor of difficulty for the child as they're maturing and trying to attempt regular life tasks. So not just exposure therapy or cognitive therapy, but trying to do things like successfully being independent at college, with jobs, handling regular stressors in life. And what do we mean by overprotection and overindulgence? Well, we're not talking about parents who care about their kids. We're talking about parents who view their major task of parenting as being one to make their child feel loved and happy and special. And they view successful parenting as producing a child who's happy all the time, who doesn't experience emotional distress, who is special, able to do special things, and then they accidentally start to try and prevent them from having contact with all the inevitable conflicts and difficulties. And overindulgent, overprotective parents also believe that negative emotion is dangerous because it impairs their child's happiness. And so things such as anxiety or a child having a tantrum because they're asked to do an exposure task is seen as a failure in parenting and something that's psychologically traumatic for the child.
Who identifies such a parent? Do parents ever self-identify, or is it up to the therapist to point out the deleterious behavior?
Well, our experience has been that the way overprotective parents and overindulgent parents see themselves as being parents who are better at loving their children than other parents. And they see themselves as parents who are willing to go the extra mile, willing to suffer more, to research more, to invest more in their child, and they usually are blind to the fact that their behaviors are interfering with their child's success in life. The dilemma is they do realize their child is distressed and having a problem. They are treatment-seeking, but they view the problem as the therapist needs to make the child feel good and to do it without creating any more family conflict or additional burden on the parent or the child.
So how do you handle resistance on the part of the parents, and especially when the parents are easily alienated or put off by therapists?
Well, the first thing is we try very hard to empathize with them, and we do it in a particular way. We talk to them about, I can tell you are willing to go to the mat for your child. You are willing to do anything to help your child feel well, and that your love is so strong that it's actually getting in the way of treatment. And so we help them understand that we understand your motivation as a parent. You're trying to do a good job. You're loving your child. And then what we do is we try to share research with them. So to give them an empirical foundation for why this isn't helpful. And we do things such as telling them that the research on self-esteem shows that having high self-esteem actually is not correlated with managing distress. The state of California did a study for 13 years, the Free to Be You and Me curriculum in all their public schools, where they each week had children affirming each other, teachers affirming the children, saying things like, you're special because. And what they found during the course of the study is over 13 years, ratings of self-esteem decreased in the children in public school in California. And other research has shown the way you really develop self-esteem and character is by overcoming adversity. And so we try to talk to parents about, you know, why did the Marine Corps call themselves the few, the proud, the Marines? It's because they have the most difficult and most challenging job. Theoretically speaking, I realize Army and Navy would disagree, but
and
Coast Guard, yes, and National Guard. But however, the reason they can hold their heads high is they know their boot camp is the longest and most difficult, they're given the most difficult task and they can do it. So we tell parents, you need to reorient yourself and redefine what a successful parent is. A successful parent is someone who gives their child the skills they need to cope with adversity, with mental health disorders such as an anxiety disorder, and helps them become a resilient child of character who's confident not because they know they're special, but because they can handle a tough moment. And that the greatest gift you can give your child is a chance to feel their pain, to have a tantrum and not get the wrong response, and discover they can handle their anxiety. We also explain that once a child has an anxiety disorder, it's unlikely they'll get rid of it. They'll have to deal with anxiety the rest of their life. And what better gift to give your child than the ability to manage their own anxiety when you're gone, as opposed to trying to make them feel comfortable? And usually that helps parents become willing to try to do the tasks you want them to do that cause the inevitable distress in their child.
When you're helping parents understand this, is this does it become therapy regularly scheduled for the parents, or is it on top of what you're doing for their children?
At our clinic, we insist that parents be in the therapy room and involved in the therapy up through age 13 or 14. So this is part of it. And we do this in front of the children. We have the children give the parents a report card on overprotection because the parents want their children's approval. And we find that motivates the parents to try harder. With older parents of older children, oftentimes we'll do individual cognitive therapy where we're helping them identify their overprotective and overindulgent belief system and coming up with their exposure tasks that they need to do to expose themselves to their child's distress, their child's failure, their child's discomfort, and integrating that into the treatment.
Is there an expected amount of time before you see a change in parents and their children?
Well, with these parents, usually it's going to take a bit longer to help the family and the child progress through treatment as compared to the other parents that just have an innate sense that it's my job to help my kid grow up rather than to help them feel happy. And we explain to them, you have to do your anxiety reduction about your child's distress and your own distress, and that it's going to take practice. Our experience has been, if you can identify the overprotection and treat it and make it a goal for treatment, then you can experience success. It just might take a couple months longer.
Do you find that this phenomenon of overprotection or overindulgent parents is something new, or that you're seeing more of it now than you might have in the past?
Honestly, I think it's a cultural trend, and that if you look at some social science research, it shows some very interesting data. One of the things we know now is that college students very often rate a parent as being one of their best friends. And parents of college kids will rate them as being a best friend. And compared to 20 or 30 years ago, this is a huge cultural shift. People are also conjecturing that the fact that families are smaller and parents are waiting till a later age causes a cognitive set of parents being very interested in investing in their child, having a special relationship with them. Baumeister did some research on self-esteem in a very famous book that came out in the 90s. And the gist of it was that if you had a child with high self-esteem, they'd be successful in life. And a huge cultural myth has grown up out of that my child needs high self-esteem. And that's what the most frequent thing we hear from our overprotective parents is, I just want my child to be happy. I just want them to have high self-esteem. Help me make them happy with a high self-esteem. Baumeister, interestingly, came out a couple of years ago recanting all his original statements, saying more recent research has shown that it's a bust. Self-esteem does not predict anything, but unfortunately that hasn't found its way to the culture.
Well, with any luck, perhaps, and with time, maybe we'll see another cultural shift. Thank you, Karen. This has been very interesting. And this is Jean Kaplan-Tigro for ADAA.